I don't know about you, but Easter was really wonderful. Wasn't that good? Everybody enjoy Easter Sunday, Easter with your family? Our services last week, boy, yes. They were exciting. And now we come to the week after. You know, everybody's sort of, well, did we get everything back in place again? Is our life back in order? This morning, I don't want you to get your life too much back in order, because I'd like for you to carry a little bit of Easter along, a little longer. Let's come to the Father in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can recognize the risen Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate his life and ministry. We can celebrate his love and your love that took him to the cross. We can celebrate the empty grave. Now, Heavenly Father, lead us as we explore what it means that he ascended on high. Heavenly Father, lead us this morning. Lead the words that are spoken here. Change up anything that needs to be changed in my notes. Use these lips of clay, Lord, to speak what you have prepared for us. In the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And you probably are wondering, so since Ascension Day isn't today, so why are we talking about Ascension the Sunday right after Easter? And part of it was, I don't want us to get lost. So many times since the Ascension Day is 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus, it comes on a Thursday. Actually, it will be May 10 this year. And in our Anabaptist tradition, many of us used to celebrate Ascension Day with a meal at noon and visiting in the afternoon. Some of our Amish neighbors still charter a bus and go different places on Ascension Day. And so I think it gets lost once in a while. But the ascension of Jesus Christ is so important that I don't want us to lose it this year, and wanted to grab a hold of it for this Sunday after Easter, because it's sort of the next thing that comes. We realize that there was 40 days between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his ascension. That was 40 days that he spent with the disciples. And that's well documented here in Acts chapter 1. And I imagine, I don't know whether you have this problem like I do. You know, you have somebody around for 40 days, you think they might be there forever, right? Have you ever had guests for 40 days? They moved in, you know, 40 days. We used to, once a year, as I was continuing my seminary training, go and stay a month at 3 weeks at Charlene's folks, and they had a basement spot we could stay in, and it got tight with two kids after a while, and it was sort of interesting to stay with your in-laws for 3 weeks. Anybody done that? Okay, testify to it. Can you imagine then what it would have been like to be a disciple and this risen Jesus was in your presence for 40 days? Now, granted, he probably wasn't needing sleeping space, and he probably had this habit of popping in when you didn't expect him, and he probably didn't need a full meal because we know it was different in those 40 days. But we do know that Jesus spent a lot of time teaching his disciples. And there were a lot of sightings of Jesus during that time. And they probably got used to it. They probably got used to it. So, when the question comes up about the kingdom, Jesus answers, and in the answer, all of a sudden, at the end of the answer, Jesus is going up in the air. He's ascending. Do you think it might have shocked somebody? And they sort of, whoa. And they pasted their eyes. It was sort of like that balloon. You know, you keep, can't you see it anymore? So pasted were their eyes to watching Jesus go, Jesus had to send a couple angels beside and say, you know, dudes, in the same way he's going, he's coming back again. In the midst of our mourning, That's the message I want us to get above anything else. This morning we've come together and there were a lot of concerns. This seems like right now in the church, there's a heaviness. There's a lot of things that are happening. There are grandmas that are getting sick. There are daddies that are getting sick who are sons of mamas who are working with illness right now. In the middle of the week, I had a whole list of people I was praying for specifically that things had come to this week. And I find in my spirit that I tend to get a little down. Somebody came in church last Sunday and told me, "Don, I saw you get out of your car and you didn't look up the whole time." It's nice to know people are watching. But she was right. She was right. At those times, I tend to look at the feet for two reasons. One, I have trip hazards, and we know that I've fallen and broken things before. But the second is that sometimes it's hard for me to keep looking up. The message that I see that Jesus wants us to grasp a hold of in His ascension is, don't stop looking up. Because the ascension of Jesus Christ is just as important as any other part of His Christology. We celebrate His birth at Christmas. It's an important part of our understanding of who Jesus is. We celebrate even His transformation, some of us celebrate. Transfiguration we celebrate. We celebrate Good Friday. We celebrate the Last Supper. We celebrate the resurrection on Easter Sunday morning. We need to be celebrating that He's ascended. And there's some very important reasons that we need to celebrate that He ascended. On the bottom of your bulletin, on the inside flap, on the white page at the back, you have a bunch of scriptures, and I'm not going to go through all of them. You can go through those scriptures at home this afternoon, just before you fall asleep. Maybe they'll put you to sleep. I don't know. But those scriptures are important. I want you to hang on to those scriptures. Maybe cut it out of that part of your bulletin and leave it as a leaflet in your Bible, because those are important scriptures to help us understand that the ascension of Jesus Christ is important. Each of these scriptures, in one way or another, reminds us that Jesus ascended. There were some clues He gave us while He was alive on earth. That comes from John 3:13. While He was talking to Nicodemus, He said, "No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who has come from heaven, the Son of Man." He was talking about Himself. He was ready to go home. He was ready to ascend. John 16:62. "What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where He was before?" Can you imagine being in Jesus' entourage of disciples? "Hey guys, do you know what's going to happen? So what if? What do you guys think? If all of a sudden I ascend?" He gave them a clue ahead of time. In John 20, the last night of His ministry, the last night He spent with His disciples, He said, "I am returning to the Father, my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God," coming out of John 20:17. So this was not something that was just thought up all of a sudden. Jesus knew that His ascending on high was part of the plan. It was going to happen. One of the reasons that He needed to do that was it described to everybody else the power. In Hebrews chapter 10, it's part of the power of being able to save us from sin, because one sacrifice He made was perfect forever and was made for those who were made holy. It was done for us. He goes on in Hebrews chapter 10 to say, "I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds," which talks about Jesus wanting a relationship, something living and breathing into our lives. So He ascended. God's love was most fully made known in the fact that He made the provision through His Son, Jesus Christ, for us to be broken away from our sins. That's power, folks. That's power that you and I don't have. We often get trapped in our sin and our memory of our sin. So trapped, sometimes we bring the sin back. But Jesus has separated it from us, and if we claim it, it's ours. God loved us so much that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's Scripture. That's Jesus. But secondly, He ascended to Jesus. Jesus ascended to the Father for us. Because it is there that He intercedes for us. In Romans chapter 8, and that if you ever have a down day, if you ever have one of those days that you wonder, what on earth is next? Go to Romans chapter 8. That's my grab a hold chapter. Verses 26 to 39 especially are grab a hold verses for me. But in that passage in verse 34 it says, who is it that he condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God interceding for us. We came to prayer this morning. And all of us brought our things before God this morning. You had that silence, you know, you can do that individually, even if you didn't grab the microphone. Isn't it comforting to know that getting your prayer close to God isn't just yours, but that you have a loving Savior who is at the right hand of God interceding for you? I find that comforting because I know I won't get the words right. I'll try really hard, but I don't have to worry about it because Christ is taking care of it. 1 John 2:1 says, my dear children, I write you so that you may not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Isn't it comforting to know that when we mess up, And we will mess up, that same Savior who was willing to give His life on the cross is also willing to intercede with God on our part. Jesus needed to ascend to the right hand of God to be there interceding for us. Another reason is His ascension on high declared His kingship, His eternal reign. In other words, His reign started at His ascension to the right hand of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 23 reads like this. I pray also, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 23, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparable great power for us who believe, that the power of is like the working of His mighty strength, in which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, seated Him at the right hand of in the heavenly realms, far above all the rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but in the age to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. Sometimes I forget that Jesus Christ is King and King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I allow what happens in this life to distort the reality of eternity. A lot of T's in there, wasn't there? I allow life to distort the reality of eternity. In other words, as a believer in Jesus Christ as my Lord and risen Savior, I need to give up my short-sightedness. in my short-sightedness, I can take those glasses off and all the room becomes a blur. I can see about that far, clearly. And in reality, that's the same case for each and every one of us. Think about it. We don't know the next hour. We don't know the next day. We don't know what will happen this afternoon. But we do serve a risen Savior that's got the whole story down pat. So when I serve a risen Savior that has the whole story down pat, I walk just clearly in the next thing He's asked me to do. If I let what's happening now grab all of my attention, I fail to see that my Lord is out there in the future and He knows everything that's going to happen. You see how short-sighted we could be? We could be so short-sighted that we're just doing what's happening now and forgetting that the author of all things has a plan for all these things to fit into His eternal future. That's what this kingship is all about. This is why it's so important He's interceding for us, because He helps us fit where He has called us into something much greater than any one of us will ever be. We may have a Sunday school teacher in our midst this very morning who is educating the next man who will be like Billy Graham to our nation or to our faith. It's entirely possible, folks, that He may be using the situations we've been praying about this very morning to create the avenue for the future for a new believer. Because of His ascension, Jesus Christ reigns again. He empowered His church by His ascension. Now this gets a little interesting, because if we go to Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, we see that Jesus is very explicit. He says, on one occasion, while He was eating with them, He gave this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift the Father has promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. It was important for the disciples all to be together at one space, at least in one town, for the happening of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we know how the story goes. In Acts chapter 2, they were all together in one place. It was 10 days after Pentecost, His ascension. So can you imagine being in one room with the same people for 10 days? Any of you had that experience? When all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit descended like a flame and split. And each one got the flame. You remember the story? And all of a sudden, they all started speaking in different languages. And of course, they probably looked at each other. Whoo, what are you doing? And as they went out of that room into the city with this excitement of the Holy Spirit, they carried the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people who were in Jerusalem because of the Pentecost celebration, and they carried the gospel in their own languages. Not because they'd learned those languages, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit, it was translated through them to people so they could hear it. The ascension of Jesus Christ was important because it turned loose the Holy Spirit to allow the church to go for mission. The last piece is, Jesus needed to ascend so He could come again. you can't come until you've went, right? And part of our looking to the future and living into the future is living expectantly that this ascended Jesus Christ is coming again. Now, I'm going to be excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. Now, I don't know how many of us watch the skies every morning. We don't have to worry too much about it because Paul says it's a trumpet will blast. We'll get the news that way. It won't be on CNN. But we will get it. We're going to hear it. And brothers and sisters, let me share this. I believe if we have surrendered our hearts and our lives to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we're going to know. We're going to know that He is coming. He's coming. In Revelation chapter 22, it says, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Sort of exciting, isn't it? This morning, if you're not ready for Jesus Christ to come again, I pray that you're in that preparation. Don't be like me and get all weighed down by what the world has to put in front of us. Shake ourselves loose of that and be looking forward to what Christ is going to do when He comes again. Because we don't know when it is. Jesus was very plain that He never was going to tell us the day nor the hour when He plans to come again. And there's a reason for that. And the reason is so that His people who are called by His name will live each and every day expectantly for Him to come. For Him to come. In chapter 1 of Revelation, to Him, it begins in the middle of verse 5. "To Him who loves us, who has freed us from our sins by His blood, and has made us to be a kingdom of priests, to serve His God and Father. To Him be glory and power forever and ever." Look! He's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. And all the people of the earth will mourn because of Him. So it shall be. Amen. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for every moment that You allowed Jesus to be on this earth. We thank You, Lord, for every provision You made through Jesus Christ, for us to break free of the sin that binds us. Forgive us, O Lord, for being short-sighted. Forgive us, O Lord, when we focus on ourselves. Forgive us, O Lord, when we do not continue to look up, expectantly watching for You to come again. So Heavenly Father, as we have worshiped here in Your name, as we have greeted and fellowshiped with our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, go with us this day, taking with us the peace that can only come through You. Help us, O Lord, to share it with those around us so they too can expectantly look forward to Your coming. And come, Lord Jesus. Come with restoration. Come like You prophesied through Your prophet Isaiah, Ezekiel. Come, Lord Jesus. come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.